Whenever you're ready, Chairman.
Okay. And we'll bring to order the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023. We'll start with roll call.
Can you hear it? We'll try to speak up.
And we'll start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young.
Present.
Vice Chairman Dana Hennis.
Present.
Commissioner Brian Clark. Commissioner Jeannie Greger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Main.
Present.
Okay. And first up is the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then first up under public hearings, so this was continued from August 8th, 2023. It's case number 23-10-SUP, special use permit for the New Morning Avenue in-home daycare. And it's Jessica.
Good evening, Commissioners. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. As a reminder, this special use permit application is for approval to operate an in-home daycare for up to 12 children at 2929 North New Morning Avenue, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. This case was originally heard August 8th and was tabled to this evening per the Commission's direction so that the application cover sheet, daycare application, and narrative could be amended to reflect the 12 children. The public noticing requirements per CUNA City Code 114.3 and Idaho Code 6765 were adhered to, with notice being posted to the city website July 10th, publication within the CUNA Melbourne News July 19th, 300-foot property owners' notices mailed July 19th, and the site being posted July 27th. All noticing materials reflected the request for the children, 12 children maximum. Additionally, staff would note the following updates were made to the staff report. Item 4.1G, the public hearing continued to August 22nd, 2023. Item 6.1C, another in-home daycare is located at 2997 North New Morning Avenue and was approved May 24th, 2022. Per the fire safety inspection, the fire marshal determined the location was eligible for up to 24 children. However, the applicant had limited their special use permit request to six max. Item 6.2A, upon additional application review and discussion with the applicant, the children would primarily be picked up and dropped off at their homes by Ms. Rama, as she had done at her previous daycare when she operated it in Boise. Item 6.2B, should parent drop-off or pickup occur, it would be met off-street within the driveway per CUNA City Code. Staff also notes the city's noise ordinance found in CUNA City Code 1063 states quiet hours are between 11 p.m. one day and 7 a.m. the next day. In conclusion, staff found this request to be compliant with CUNA City Code 56, Idaho Code 3911, and IDAPA 16.06.02. Thank you, and I will answer any questions you have.
Okay. Are there any questions for Jessica at this time?
No.
No, not at this time.
Okay. And is there the applicant here? Is there anything the applicant would like to add to what Jessica? No? Okay. Then I'll go ahead and open the – was the public testimony closed at the previous – continued, okay. Then I'll open the public testimony at 6:12. And I have one person signed in to testify. Chris Howard?
I signed up on the wrong one. I'm supposed to be on item C. So I apologize.
Okay. All right. Then I'll just verify, is there anybody here that wanted to testify on this application that did not sign in? Okay. Then seeing none, I'll close the public testimony at 6:13, which comes back to our discussion then.
Can I ask Jessica a question now?
Yes.
Jessica,
Did you say that the operator will pick up and deliver children?
Yes, so that is primarily how she would operate. That was noted in the neighborhood meeting for the residents surrounding her. It was also in her application materials, but that's the same how she operated in Boise, and she intends to continue as such.
Thank you.
Looks pretty straightforward as far as the other in-home daycares that we've looked at, and consistent with those from what I can see. I don't know what your other thoughts are.
It's like was brought up in the meeting from last time. I think everything's pretty well taken care of. Everything's in line and in place. So,
commissioners, can we please remember to speak closer to the microphone? Thank you.
I'm trying. Not enough desk space.
Did you have? No, I think as long as she picks up and returns the kids and doesn't create a parking issue in the subdivision, that I'm fine. Excuse me, I'm fine with it as well.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case number 23-10-SUP for the New Morning Inn Avenue in-home daycare with the items as outlined in the staff report.
I second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you.
And thank you, Ms. Rama. Have a good evening.
Next up under public hearings, we have case numbers 23-01-CPF, 23-03-Z3 for Hagler subdivision, and it's Jessica again.
Hello, commissioners. Again, for the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. The applicant requests combo plat approval to re-subdivide Lot 2, Block 1 of the Phase subdivision into three total lots and to rezone from A, agriculture, to R2, low-density residential. The intent of this application is to provide the additional lots to the applicant's adult children so they may care for their parents as they age in place. Lot 1 is proposed to be 1.68 acres, Lot 2, 1.39 acres, and Lot 3, 1.93 acres, which all exceed the minimum lot size requirements within the R2 zone. The existing residence is served by a private well and septic system, and the future lots are also proposed to be served by private well and septic systems, which is supported by the city engineer due to the distance of city services. Staff notes ACHD has provided a list of roadway improvements, which includes dedication of additional right-of-way, pavement widening, and sidewalk. However, based on there being no other improvements on King Road west of South Swan Falls until possibly 2036 to 2040 or later, staff has requested the applicant only be required to dedicate the additional 9 feet of right-of-way for future improvements. Currently, ACHD has not made a determination, but the request is under review. The east driveway is to be shared by lots 1 and 2 of the subdivision and will be improved to 25 feet wide. And the future driveway for Lot 3 will be required to be installed near the west property line and will be a 20-foot wide driveway. Both driveways are required to be paved at least 30 feet into the site per ACHD. Upon review, staff finds the request to be substantially compliant with the comprehensive plan, CUNA City Code Title 5 and 6, and Idaho Code 6765. With that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Jessica at this time?
No.
No.
Okay. And is the applicant here?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add to?
Not really. We're just cheap. We stole everything. We're here to take care of the
place. All right. Thank you. Okay. Then I'll open the public testimony at 6:17. I don't see anybody signed in to testify. Is there anybody here that wanted to testify on this application that did not sign in? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public testimony at 6:18. And real quick, it comes right back to us again.
like to...
Well, again, this one seems pretty straightforward. It's taking a larger parcel and just subdividing it into still large parcels within the family. I don't see any opposition to it as long as they conform to what ACHD is looking for in their final review on that variation.
No, I agree
with that.
I think it's a great answer for that piece of property.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of 2301-CPF, and 2303-CC for the Hagler subdivision with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. and Ms. Hagler.
Okay. Then I'll wait for Troy to grab the sign-in sheets for the next application.
Folks, my apologies for not asking in advance. If you need assistance with hearing, we have some devices you can use. I have three available. Would anybody like one? It's a little earpiece, and it will go through our system, and you'll be able to hear it directly. Would you like one?
And Mr. Howard, Chris Howard, would you go ahead and sign in on, is this the application you wanted to sign in to testify? Would you go ahead and do so here? We need to have that as part of the record, so. No, that's fine. And then just to verify while he's signing in, is there anybody else here that's here to testify on the Seasons Creek North subdivision that is not signed in to testify? Okay, thank you. You ready, Jessica?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Then next up we have case numbers 22-10-ZC, 22-17-S, 22-38 design review for Seasons Creek North subdivision. And that's back to Troy.
Good evening, members of the commission. For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner here at CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. The applications before you this evening include a request for PUD, which stands for, request for a rezone approval in order to rezone. Maybe I have my stuff mixed up. I do. Too many projects. So we'll begin again. The applications before you this evening request approval in order to rezone approximately 60.92 acres already in the city of CUNA and to zone the property R8, which is a residential zone. The applicant is also requesting preliminary plat approval in order to divide these 60.92 acres into 348 total residential units, 43 common lots, and one civic use lot. They are also working with the CUNA School District actively for a school site dedication and donation. The applicant seeks design review approval for the common lot landscaping. Public Works in Exhibit 2.25 stated that it can support the approval of this application, and the planning and zoning staff agrees with the Public Works assessment. Staff has reviewed the applications of the proposed rezone, preliminary plat, design review for compliance with CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes 50-222, 6765, the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, the future land use map, and should the commission recommend approval of these applications and approve the design review application this evening, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions as outlined in staff's report. The applicant is here tonight and they do have a presentation. And I will sit for any questions that you have.
Are there any questions for Troy at this time?
No.
Okay. Then before I have the applicant come up, I'm just going to kind of a PSA the applicant on this application and the next. The way the process goes, the applicant has 10 minutes to present their project. Afterwards, people who have signed in to testify will come up. We'll call your names. You'll have 3 minutes to give us whatever input you wish. And when that timer goes off, we'll ask that you please stop, because there are a lot of people here today, and in, you know, helping out all your neighbors as well. Let's stick to those 3 minutes. After that, the applicant will have a chance to help answer some of your questions and concerns as well. So that being said, we'll have the applicant please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Make sure and touch that red light and make sure it turns to green. There you go.
All right. 10 minutes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Elizabeth Kekeritz. I'm with Givens Pursley at 601 Bannock, Boise, Idaho. I am here with Tim Eck, who's a member of the development team, who will be able to answer some of the questions that I may not be able to. I'd first like to extend a huge thank you to Troy, Doug, and Jessica for all their help on this. This has been a number of years that we've been working on this, working back and forth with staff and with ACHD to make sure that we brought forward a real quality project. We've reviewed the staff report. We're in full agreement with it. And we are here to request a recommendation of approval to City Council. Season Creek is in full compliance with the CUNA with the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, the CUNA Land Use Map. It exceeds all dimensional standards of the requested zoning, provides a site for a school in the future, and provides a new lift station. How do I go next? Okay. Okay, you can see the property location here. It's directly south of Deer Flat and to the east of Black Cat Road, up against Indian Creek and the train tracks. And it has been designated medium density residential, and R8 zoning is a medium density residential type zone. This property goes back a long time with the city of CUNA. It was originally annexed into CUNA back in 2008 as part of the LID. And it's been part of the city then for at least 15 years. At that time, a plat was approved on the property, and it was zoned, according to the development agreement, R6 and C2. It's not entirely sure why it's showing still as ag, but that's what it was. A lot happened, obviously, around 2008 when this was originally zoned. And so all we're really doing here is updating a previously approved plat to the more modern standards that we have today. It includes now the school donation site. It also includes updated roads and connectivity. that meet the more modern standards that we're working with today and that ACHD is requesting. Okay. The R8 zoning is consistent with the surrounding zoning and planned and existing uses in the vicinity. Its similar density to Crimson Point to the northeast and Madrone Heights to the south is at 5.2 gross units per acre. We're proposing a gross residential density of 4.79 units per acre and a net residential density of 6.7 units per acre. In fact, as I mentioned, the original zoning was R6. That R6, back in the day, the city of Cunard looked at the gross residential density, which is why it qualified for R6. Today, the same development really qualifies as R8, and that's one of the real differences between these. It's still very similar density to what was approved 15 years ago. We exceed all of the zoning designation requirements, and in fact, all of our lots exceed the lot size requirements of the R6 zone. Our lots are all between 5,000 and 9,400 square feet, and the R8 zone allows lots as small as 3,300 square feet, and the R6 zone allows lots as small as 4,500 square feet. So these lots are larger than what would be allowed, are larger than even the R6 lots. Here's the site plan. This deliberate site plan takes advantage of the unique location of the property, has been developed considering input from the neighbors, staff, ACHD, and as I mentioned, it meets all city code requirements. It includes 292 single-family residential lots. I think the 342 number is the common lots, is everything combined, but it is 292 single-family residential lots, 7.27 acres of open space, a walking path along Indian Creek. It's adjacent to a new school district site, which we expect to close on that donation shortly. The hope was it would be done by tonight. It's not. I have a copy of the deed here. We're really close. It's in escrow. It just hasn't closed yet. And this also, as you note, you can see it aligns with many, many goals of Envision CUNA, the city's comprehensive plan. There's the new sewer lift station, the donation of the school parcel. There's really increased pathway and street network connectivity through this, and it's providing a really nice development and location for people who currently live in CUNA and who are moving here. Season Creek is expected to be developed in phases, with each phase commencing sequentially, with full build-out expected in 5 to 6 years. Ultimately, from Deer Creek down south, the entire area will be developed as Season Creek developments. There's three separate plats that will be coming forward. This one, Season Creek North, then Season Creek East, and Season Creek South. It was originally proposed that way, which is one of the reasons why it's taken so long to get before you, but there was a lot of pushback from ACHD and from planning staff and really from everyone in that it's really hard to make any sort of real good decisions on that sort of a timeline, on how this is really all going to build out in the future when you're talking about what is the traffic impact really going to be in 15 years from now. It just makes a lot more sense to wait and bring those forward in the future, which is why this is here today. I know someone online had raised that as a question. There's a large amount of open space along Indian Creek here. As this all develops, there will be more. In addition, staff has recommended additional cut-through pathways and the applicants in full a support of those. Right here, this is a school donation site. The development team is continuing its tradition of trying to work with the school district, work with the various entities, and make sure that as they develop into new areas, that they are taking care of the residents that are going to be living there. They are donating the site. It's one big parcel that's 10.5 acres, but for technical reasons in the code, 2.7 of those acres are going towards this plat so that it counts towards the open space dedication, and the rest will be dedicated on the next plat, which will also go towards that open space. It's all coming in at once together. It's really one big parcel, but for the code reasons, it's then split up into these two separate parcels to make it clearer to staff, the city, everyone what's going on here. This development team has previously worked on providing property for the Crimson Point Elementary School. It donated the Silver Star Elementary School property. It's currently working on a donation with Napa Vineyards, which is located at Columbia and Hubbard. That will be an application that's forthcoming. And then there's this current Seasons Creek donation. Traffic. Everyone is, oh, and the last thing on the school site is that Tim did, the development team worked really closely with the school district on the location of this site. There's a number of developments in the area, and this was chosen as one that really worked for them on a collector road in the location that they did. It was, they had a lot of input in this decision. So traffic. There is always new traffic comes with development. But again, the development team is really has stepped up, worked closely with ACHD, removed one of its entrances, has accepted all of the mitigation that ACHD and the city are requesting in this matter. They are providing right-of-way at Deer Flat and Black Cat Road for a future roundabout. There is, at Columbia and Black Cat Road, they'll be installing an interim 3x3 signal, which is three lanes in each direction signal. They're going to be doing full Black Cat Road improvements, including the widening curb, gutter, and sidewalks on their side of the road, as well as a left turn lane. And they will install traffic calming at those locations as requested by ACHD. Someone mentioned that Azeroth Road, which this whole development, to make it fit on there, is all skewed sideways, that it's sort of at the crest of a hill, which makes it more difficult to see in each direction, and it raised the question of, is this dangerous or not? That was actually looked at by the traffic engineers, and looking to the south, there is over 1,000 feet of sight distance, and looking to the north, there's over 700 feet of sight distance, which exceeds what is required by AASHTO, which is one of the national traffic organizations that ACHD and planners, traffic engineers, look to. And so it was found that this intersection, that this location of Azeroth Way would be safe. There are all services available to the site. I mentioned the first future school site. We are also currently working on one of the concerns is with, almost perfect timing, one of the concerns is with always with emergency services. There is also a fire station that's in the process of being donated. That too will be completed before the city council hearing. There's water, pressurized irrigation, sewer coming from Crimson Point to the north. And with that, we recommend, we ask for a recommendation of approval to the City Council, and I'll stand for questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the applicant at this time?
One question. Did you say you're donating a site to the fire department as well?
This applicant team is, yes.
Thank you.
Just a point of clarification. So the school site donation is not adjacent to this one that you're bringing in. It's slightly down towards the other area.
Yes. Commissioner Hennis, it's slightly offset. It's slightly off. Because of how the layouts worked, and the school will be at this time receiving a full easement that tracks Azeroth Road so that it, as they begin their planning processes, they'll have the ability to get there.
Okay, thank you.
I do have one other question. If you exceed all the R8, everything, is it just the some of the setbacks that you're trying to play, shifting things back to stay with an R8 versus... Yes. Just going for an R6?
Well, that Commissioner Young, that is a great question. And the and we actually, as we were talking, we're like, why did we end up having to do it that way? It's because of how you calculate net density that we're slightly over 6 units per acre. We're at 6, it was a 6.18, and we have to be under 6 because of when you calculate the net density, you take in just the land remaining after you take out all of the roads and everything. So we were close.
Thank you. Are there any other questions at this time?
No. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Then We'll go ahead and open up the public testimony at 6:37. And I guess we'll start on the in favor column. And we have Robbie, please come forward.
Robbie Reno, Kuna School District, 711 East Porter Street, Kuna, Idaho, 83634. We are in support of this one because of the land donation by Mr. Eck and his team. And it's hard because without land, we can't build schools. And it, in the end, it saves taxpayers' money because when we go to bond and we pass a bond, we don't have to pass those costs of buying land to the taxpayers. And so that's been a goal of our board, is to save our taxpayers' money by getting these land donations. And we really appreciate Tim Mack. He's been instrumental in a lot of our sites and saving taxpayers a lot of money by doing these responsible developments that include school sites. Because we did a study back in 2016-15 where the community wanted school sites in the community. And so we've taken that, and that's and Tim Mack has taken that when he designs his subdivisions for that. So we are in support of this because of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Then next up, I have listed in the opposition column and listed to testify Robin Sanders. Did I say that correctly?
I'm not going to.
And is that the same for then Diana Sanders?
Good evening, commissioners. I have a few things that we did not know about a fire station. Where is that located?
Ms. Sanders, could you please state your name and address for the record?
Diana Sanders, 3475 West Grace Main Lane, CUNA. We live just across from this property. We actually rezoned our property a couple years ago to an R2 so we could do a buffer for agricultural. We would like for them to try to buffer more, like do R4 against Black Cat and then transition to the R8 or R6. Because under your code, you have several medium density which comply with your comprehensive plan. So you have the R4, the R6, and the R8. The R8 is the highest density. Some of the things that we have concerns about, we talked to Union Pacific for Black Cat and Greenhurst Crossing, and they're really concerned, and people in the area are concerned with all the traffic backing up, trying to turn across dual railroad tracks. And so it's already kind of a mess, but if you add that many homes, it's going to be a total disaster trying to get people, because we don't have an overpass. Most people are not going to go back through CUNA. They're going to take Black Cat to Greenhurst. One of the other things, on the notices, our neighbor bought her house last March, and she never got an invitation to the neighborhood meeting. We didn't receive one for this hearing tonight, and we're within 300 feet of the property. So the other thing is the original zoning, they were annexed as agricultural. They were never approved for an R6 zone. They've only had agricultural. They had to come back and rezone the property when they were going to develop it. So you can tie that development agreement to the subdivision. So it's never been an R6, approved R6. It's always been the agricultural, which I believe was 5 acres. Some of the other things, the school site was never discussed at the neighborhood meeting. They do have wetlands on that property, which was never addressed. We, as the neighborhood, we tried to talk to them about transitioning, you know, checking on the wetlands, because it is on the wetlands map, to do the zone so that it's appropriate. Next to our properties are two, but we have 1.5 to almost 3-acre parcels. We did it for our children to take care of us as we get older. So, and beyond us is agricultural, and all along the west side is agricultural. Do you have any questions?
Not at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Then next, I have listed Josh Sanders.
Yes, sir. My name is Josh Sanders. I reside at 3500 West Grace May Lane in CUNA. Commissioners and I just want to start off with saying thank you for being here and your service to the commission, because it is a tough job that doesn't get a lot of thank yous. Understand this process as I was with my mom last year as we went through this process. I presented before the board as we went through this. And I look at this project across the road, and it's been a very confusing project. We've had 3 community meetings. The information brought up tonight would have been nice to have at those meetings, but it wasn't there. The last community meeting, if you look in your packet, is about a year ago. But that neighborhood meeting occurred, and yeah, we've had several to it. Some were short notice, a couple days before the meeting. We got the mailer like 2 days the first time. Been a lot of promises made, but not fulfillment by this group. We did, as my mother spoke about it, talked about changing some zoning, not stopping this development. I'm not in favor of stopping it, but I am in favor of doing it responsibly. And it is really important. And as we talked to you about the R2 zoning, it's a good ag buffer zone. The county line is a mile away. So we're talking about, as we move towards that county line, the density. In the code is, from what I could see with densities, talked about R8 is around light commercial. It's around already developed properties in the city. It's about changing inner development with lots of services available. The services they talked about tonight are speculative. The school would be 6+ years before they do all the phases and donate all the land over. The fire department is, well, we've talked about a fire department for 30 years on the south side of the tracks. So it's kind of empty promises about that. It's really nice to hear about engineering and sight lines on that top of the hill road. But I invite you all to come out there and drive it and pull out of that driveway. Because when you look at it on a map, it doesn't look terrible. And I can totally understand you do have that visibility of sight line. When you're out there driving it and it's 60 miles an hour, and you're cresting a hill or you're behind a piece of farm equipment, there's a lot of wild stuff that happens out there. And I don't know that it's necessarily, I'm not trying to attack ACHD, but they're a busy organization and they don't always have time to go out and do driving in that stretch and see all the conditions that the neighbors see. you know, I think with a lot of these promises, we need to see them come through before they happen. I do have concerns that this is a whole chunk of property that stretches actually from, you could say, from CUNA Road back over to Janeo's old property, to Al Silva's old property. That was all, a lot of it was bought by the Gordon family and incorporated into one chunk. And we're talking about a large tract of land that will have development over time. I appreciate your time tonight. I encourage you to either table or rezone to a lower number.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have listed Matthew Gavin. If you just please state your name and address for the record. Please.
Matthew Canvin at 1205 North Black Cat. This project is going to bring a lot of traffic, and that's my main concern. I have a daughter who gets picked up probably right out one of the entrance ways of that subdivision, and cars do not stop for the bus in the morning. It's dark, it's dangerous. So that's one of my big concerns. And it doesn't conform around surrounding properties. You know, I'm rural, 1 acre, five acres per one house. So my neighbors, they rezone R2. So R8, I don't think, conforms to the surrounding area. You know, I know they're going to build something. So we need to work out something. You know, an R4 sounds good. But yeah, that's all I got. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have listed Aya Graham. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
If you'd please state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Alta Graham. I live at 1015 North Black Cat Road, which is directly across the street from this proposed site. I also have the concern that we have had meetings, and as Josh Sanders said, that is all accurate. The last meeting they had, we did not even get an invitation to. And I thought that was quite interesting. Our concern is that this is proposed in little tiny pieces, which makes it look like it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal. They're looking at one-third is what they're saying right here. One-third of the impact that those of us that live on 5 acres and live on agricultural land would have to face. So we've lived, my husband and I and our children, since 1975. And since that time, I can hardly get across the street to get my mail now. I'm taking my life in my hand. I used to go for walks. I can't do that anymore. The property, or the automobile traffic is fast. They don't ever even move over. I have no idea where they learn to drive. However, we're talking about eventually having more than 876 homes across there, which would mean about 1,752 cars if there's only 2 cars per home. We had 4 cars when our children were growing up, so I'm guessing that I'm about half. So we're talking about putting in 3,000 more cars to try to get across Black Cat and the railroad track. I think the infrastructure isn't here yet. As soon as that is, it's not that we are opposed to the development, but you have already set precedents of putting an R2, and I loved that she said it was an R5 or something in Crimson Point. I have a friend that lives there. Their part of Crimson Point was R3. So we're talking about not even a decent transition from agriculture to a high density. And I went on the CUNA website, your website, and it says high density residential, R8. This is from your site. So I'm saying we're not talking medium density. We're talking high density. We're talking about a lot of traffic. We're talking about a lot of people that can't even enjoy safety to get in and out of their driveways. And if you want to think that the people are driving 50 miles an hour down that road and cresting that hill, I can look to my right, pull out of my driveway, and someone is on my tail honking their horn because I pulled out in front of them. They weren't there when I started entering the roadway. So we're talking about a very dangerous thing when we start putting that many people on that road without any infrastructure. I want to say, please, reconsider. Make this R2. Put the infrastructure in first. And let's have more discussions about what's really happening. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have listed Tamara Hausch. Did I say that correctly? Oh, I'm sorry, that was not testified. Sam Johnston.
Sam Johnston, 392 North Black Cat Road. I have the farm to the north of this property. And my drone went in. We had a turn lane put in. And it's such a phony little turn lane on CUNA Road that I risk my life every day out there on it. And if you don't put a four-way stop on that Black Cat Road and CUNA Road, you are going to have somebody killed there. But you know, my big concern is the phony little turn lane that's like 8 foot for a car to get over there, and then you got cars and trucks passing, And a lot of times I'm out on the corner with my little gator, setting my water. I got to sweep off the moss because we got such a moss problem. But that's not your fault. But anyway, I've got to do that daily, twice a day. And so I'm up there taking my life into my hands every day with these California drivers coming through here, raising hell, and they don't give you an inch. They do not give you an inch. Anyway, that's one of my things. Where are all these kids going to walk? Where are they going to walk? Are they going to go to a park? Are they going to go to anywhere out there? There's no walking deal. Madrone doesn't have any. They're a satellite deal. Madrone is the subdivision Corey Barton put in down toward town. There's a sidewalk in front, but it goes to nowhere. There's no place for it to go. I mean, there, if you get on a bike, you know, there's parks across the Cuna Road, but there, anyway, there's no real access for a kid safely to get anywhere. And this is going to be similar to that. In fact, it's going to be worse than that because we're talking Black Cat Road, and there's no, and I don't know where the school site has been because we were involved in where the site is, but I'm seeing it on a map, and it's real close to my property, and I see no real access for bike traffic or walking traffic to get there. And anyway, I had some notes, but I've lost them. So anyway, I'll give it. Oh, here. The sewer. I was told by the city of Cuna that after this subdivision goes in, I could not hook my property up to sewer. So I've got and water. So where I'm going to have a lift station to pump it over the hill to 10 Mile, which goes to the old site. Thank you. I hope you reconsider this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have listed and marked to testify Beverly Wolf.
My name is Beverly Wolf. I live at 3420 West Commemoration. I've been coming and watching the developments here, and traffic's a big issue. Traffic's going to be a big issue in any of these developments. Most people are calculating two cars. I've got in my neighborhood about 3 to 4 cars per household, so the math changes on whatever the district has said. But the other two big issues here, is the sewer line in place now? Are the lines there now for this development? And the other issue is, as wonderful as the donation is for a school site and a piece of land does not build a school. And multi-millions of dollars get imposed on the taxpayers and levied on our taxes to build the school. So isn't there a better plan? That's all I'm asking. It's getting more and more expensive here. The fees go up. The sewer fees go up every year at percentages that some people don't even get on their income. I mean, it might be a few dollars to you, but, you know, 2 or 3%, I don't think everybody here makes 2 or 3% a year on their income. I'm just saying, it's getting expensive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then the next I had listed and marked to testify was Tom Melody. Tom, okay. Or Mary, whichever wants to go first. Okay, if you
My
just
name
please.
Is Tom Melody. I live at 804 North Black Cat. And I've had this proposal encircling me, more or less. And my big concern is the traffic right now, today, on Black Cat Road. My driveway is right at the crest of the high point in the road, and traffic. Not every car or every truck is exceeding the speed limit, but enough of them are to make it a public safety issue. And adding this extra traffic and possibly people on foot along there, we just got a situation worse than what it is now. And I'm asking you to get the highway department to give us something close to a final definition of what they're going to do to Black Cat Road to alleviate this problem. My personal feeling is that all permits on this property, the whole big property, should be held in abeyance until this traffic problem is solved on Black Cat Road. Now, okay, I'm not very good on the feet. I turned 90 in February.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Then, Mary, if you'd please come forward and just state your name and address for the record, please.
Hi, I'm Mary Melody, 804 North Black Cat Road. I'm not against the improvements, but I am against the speed. It shouldn't be called Black Cat. It should be called Dead Cat. There are so many cats dead on that road, and I can't ride my bike on Black Cat. I can't walk a dog. People go off on the shoulder. I'm out there picking the garbage up. I'm the little part, my husband and I, when you see it, that little part that's not part of their structure, we're that little ranch there for 2 acres. We have 13 sheep, 2 pigs, 3 dogs, and we used to have 19 cats. We're down to 3. So Black Cat to me is Dead Cat. And if children walk there, it's going to be very dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and then I guess the next one I had listed to testify was Chris Howard.
Good evening. This is Chris Howard. I reside at 4700 West Dirt Lane, Kuna, Idaho. I'd like to start off by saying it's obvious people are in objection to this. I think there's me and maybe 3 or 4 other younger people. I have kids that are impacted by this. I think that the school donation site, although that's great, I think it's kind of a joke. You can build an elementary school, but middle school, high school impact, I'm not really in favor of that. The fire station also, I know that has really nothing. The fire station's great. We've all wanted it for a while, but the problem is that really doesn't account for EMS necessarily. It doesn't count for police. And if you're talking about our police department, I know we've got a new building going up, but this is across the tracks. So those are kind of the 2 primary concerns of mine. Traffic's already been talked about. We don't live on Black Cat. We live on McDermott, and yes, it's a highway. Cars go pretty fast through there, and I think that's kind of beating a dead horse there. This gal spoke about how, you know, their plan aligns with CUNA's vision for development. So I would turn that back on you guys and say, what is our plan? Is it to sock homes in here just as hard as we can? Is there any sort of, and I understand we have to have reasonable distribution of, like, you know, smaller homes that are more affordable, medium, you know, density, height. I understand there has to be, but I got to thinking, I was like, what part of CUNA would you consider to be a nice part of town with bigger homes? And I'm not saying everybody needs to have a big home. I'm just saying what part of Cuna is going to be not chalked in, socked full of homes. So I would ask that when we consider our vision going forward that supersedes this project, that it's more regulated. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is all I had that I saw listed to testify. So with that, I'll ask the applicant to please. Okay. What was your name?
Scott Byrne.
Okay. Please come forward and state your name for the record, please.
My name is Scott Byrne. I live on 4747 West Deer Flat Road, Cuna, Idaho. I'd like to approach two issues here, and I'll make short use of the time because I realize we're pressed for time. I run a custom farming business out of my location on Deer Flat that ties right into Black Cat. We travel north-south on that regularly with large equipment, large hay balers. And as it is right now, it is difficult to transition onto Black Cat with no further traffic issues. Moreover, based on some of the, and I'll call it questionable driving habits of the folks that we've been encountering, I've had more and more folks passing me as I'm getting ready to turn into Big Tree, which is one of the places where I do custom baling. Personally, in the last 4 weeks, I've been in almost four wrecks at that location, one per week. So I am concerned about that. The other concern I have is I also am one of the younger members, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I have kids that will be attending school, and so will be coming from Deer Flat, crossing Black Cat, and going to a school there. If they were to ride their bike or walk, which I think many of us did as children to school, which was one of our first forms of responsibility, was to get yourself somewhere on time, they're going to be crossing Black Cat. And they're going to be crossing Black Cat with an additional, depending on how you look at it, 1,500 to 3,000 cars for this portion of the subdivision alone, let alone the ones around it. So there's some concern along those lines for our kids' safety, which last time I checked was pretty important for the council and for the citizens. Next, if we look at the Canyon County Future Use Plan, which I realize we're in Ada County and we're not part of that, that land immediately adjacent on the in Canyon County has been zoned future use as intensive ag. So we're going to see more interactions between agriculture and high-density housing. If we decide to go forward with this, there's going to be even more density on an already highly traveled road adjacent to something another county has decided is agriculture. I'm not saying we're responsible for that decision, but it would be irresponsible not to address those conditions. So I would like to look at that as a piece of information. I've heard the term here since I've moved here, let development pay for development. And I think that that's probably a good way to go with this. The road on Black Cat, I'm not sure that I know when it is supposed to be upgraded or set up for more traffic. But at this time, it's not set up to maintain the traffic that really is going to be at that intersection. And I'm not challenging what the Ada County Highway Department is saying, but if you've pulled off of Deer Flat onto Black Cat recently, it's been a real challenge, and I'm concerned for public safety along those lines. Like I said, I won't go too long, but thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Then, with that, go ahead and we'll have the applicant please come back and restate your name and address, please.
Elizabeth Kekeritz. 601 Bannock with Givens Pursley and the applicant team. So as we discussed at the middle of it, at the beginning of this, when the city creates its plans, when developers come in, when owners look at their property,
The documents they look to are the current zoning, what the comprehensive plan says, and what the future land use map says. The comprehensive plan and the future land use map are really the two documents that guide the projected future of what the city intends to do and how they would like CUNA to develop in the future. I know CUNA went through, it, I feel like it was around 2018-ish, I'm sure Troy or someone over here would correct me, on adopting a new comprehensive plan in Vision CUNA. And just as recently as last November 2022, they did a lot of outreach. They did, I mean, you guys were here, they did all of the public hearings on adopting an updated future land use map. And this is the future land use map that was adopted at that point in time, which is the same for this property as it was prior to this. And these plans give developers, citizens, everyone knowledge on what's likely coming down, what's likely going to be happening here. And this property has been here, and it has in the past. There's a development agreement that has been recorded against this property that says that it would be zoned R6 and C2. We're now here before you asking for the R8 zoning. The net, the gross residential density of this development is only at, I believe it was 4.78 units per acre. And that's how it used to, until about 18 months ago, that's how the city of CUNA used to calculate it. And so now all of a sudden, in the last 18 months, there have been developments coming in asking for what appeared to be higher zoning densities for really the same sort of development, simply because of the difference between net density and gross density. One of the questions that keeps being raised is about, well, the infrastructure isn't here, the road infrastructure isn't here, the sewer infrastructure isn't here, this various infrastructure isn't here. Well, the infrastructure, it's the developers that put in that infrastructure, as you all well know. The traffic mitigation measures. This road is projected to be widened to ultimately 3 lanes, and Mr. Eck is going to be dedicating... Oh, I wrote it down here. 39 feet from the center line of, as right-of-way, and on top of that, there's an additional 20-foot landscape buffer that the city requires before you even start to get to the first homes. So there is already a significant buffer of these homes off of the street, off of Black Cat, and off of the roads and the homes that are across the road adjacent to the west. The developers put in this infrastructure. The sewer doesn't come until a developer pays to put in the infrastructure and to bring it. This sewer is going to be going across. It's coming in from the Crimson Point lift station, and that sort of infrastructure is being paid for at the developer's expense to get it over there, to get it available. There's been a lot of talk about the safety of the roads. Well, the roads will be safer when this becomes 2 lanes in each direction with a center turn lane the entire direction. There's also projected right-of-way is being dedicated to ACHD so they can put in a roundabout at the corner of Black Cat and Deer Flat. This developer is also being asked to, with this development, put in a stoplight at the corner of Black Cat and Columbia. There's also going to be 8-foot-wide detached sidewalks fronting this development. These all go to make this a much safer sort of area, where eventually kids will be able to cross across the street, across Black Cat, in a more safe manner. The school site, it will ultimately take students away that are now going into Crimson Point. It will ultimately take students from there, and they'll go to the local elementary school right in their own neighborhood. A question was raised about where are these kids going to play? Well, there's actually a park site was dedicated in Crimson Point, and there's a footbridge across to it. So once that park is developed, there will be that there as well. And I guess with that, I will stand for any questions.
I do. I guess just to help answer some of the the questions that it seems like we ran out of time on. One of the people that asked the location of the proposed fire station. Can you scroll back on your...
Commissioner Young. The proposed fire station is coming with a different development that's in the works, but we are intending on... Development team will donate that prior to probably even application submittal on that. There is space for a city park right there, and then a fire station. It's actually my understanding is that it's likely would be EMS, that there will be police and other agencies and co-located there. However, the donation itself is to the fire department, the fire, CUNA Rural Fire. And then there's the school site. Also, to the extent that that corner of CUNA Road and Deer, CUNA Road and Black Cat is more unsafe, there is going to be, as these areas develop, those streets will be developed, and there will be that connector that's going through that has started in Madrone Heights that will go up to the school site and then come out to the west.
Okay. Any other questions at this point for?
On your park that'll be across the creek, what are the amenities that are going to be on it?
In Crimson Point, that was, it's my understanding that is a site that was actually donated to the city. It's a larger one, and that the city was going to be, that's from some time ago. That was a donation or a development. I don't know more about that. I just know that there is a park, a city-owned site over there for a park and a bridge to get there.
What amenities are you providing in within your park and open space there?
Within this, there are walking spaces and green areas along the creek, which will then, as this continues to develop, develop into a much longer walking path along the creek.
Because right now you have that park really located in the upper end of this, and if the other ones are coming down below, I don't see any connectivity from that park on even down towards the south end of that subdivision itself. So what are the plans there? I mean, we don't have very much connectivity. We don't have any pathways. I know staff has recommended that. What is the thoughts?
And well, we've agreed with all of the extra connectivity that staff has asked for. There will be cut-throughs to get out to Black Cat more easily. There are some right through here, in here somewhere. And then there are some in other places. As this develops, there'll be the green space. There are ultimately planned to be pickleball courts and swimming pools with the other additional phases coming on. For right now, we do have, it's just this spot right here with this sort of natural area and green area and walking path.
Okay.
What kind of improvements are you going to be making on Black Cat as part of this project?
Okay. Black Cat will be, I will read you exactly what we agreed to do for ACHD. It will be widened and to, the developer will be donate, will be from the center line of Black Cat doing 39 feet of right-of-way. And within that 39 feet of right-of-way, there will be a 17-foot paved section. I don't want to misspeak. There's an 8-foot wide detached sidewalk. There's a 20-foot landscape buffer. I think a 3-foot ditch along the property along there. On the east side of Black Cat going down. Then there is projected to be that, in the future, the roundabout at that corner.
So the detached sidewalk is part of the landscape buffer?
The detached sidewalk is outside of the landscape buffer. Or it might be shared partially on it. I'm not
But it's 8 feet away. It's a minimum. It's 8 feet off. I believe it's 5 feet off of the road minimum. The developer pays for all of the improvements. May I
answer? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't.
Yeah.
Okay, the reason is it has to be on the record, and we can't. Ma'am, I'm sorry. I can't. I just can't.
Commissioner Young, do you have any more questions?
I don't at this point.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Jim was.
So just to go back, the developer is paying for all the improvements along the east side of Deer Flat as part of this, or I'm sorry, Black Cat, as part of this project.
Commissioner Main, that is correct.
Thank you. One other question. What is a civic lot?
That is the new lift station that will help other developments as they come online get up and over to the Crimson Point wastewater.
Thank you.
And you said there was you were putting a traffic circle at what intersection?
At this point, Commissioner Hennis, at this point in time, we're dedicating the right-of-way for the traffic circle, but have not been asked to put in the traffic circle.
Okay, and that's at what intersection?
Deer Flat and Black Cat here.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant at this time?
No, not at this time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. Then with that, we'll close the public testimony at 7:19. Then that brings back our discussion.
Well, I'll start. How about that? I appreciate all of the community input in that. I think a lot of us have driven that road a lot and understand that traffic is probably our big concern. the traffic mitigation that's on the plans, both in ACHD's report as well as kind of what's shown up in their preliminary plat, will help. I'm not sure it'll alleviate some of the issues. A traffic circle doesn't slow them down. It doesn't seem like a whole lot. Allows them to go around, but I wish ACHD would recommend some sort of a signal somewhere, a stop somewhere along that road to stop the traffic from flowing so quickly. I can't do much. The city can't do much, unfortunately, on that one, but I understand the concern. The concern I've got within this development, I think it's just, for where it's going, I think it's too dense. I agree with the transition that needs to be along Deer Flat. I think that's a good proposed solution to try to transition into the R8 versus just slamming the R8 against the black, black cat right there, dead cat. Sorry. I live on a road. I have the same problem. Not on that road, though. I also have concerns with the park and how they're getting to that. It's a nice little set, area, but it's way up on the top side. There's no amenities. There's not even a shade structure. There's no picnic benches. Nothing is proposed other than a walking path. And I don't see any walking paths to get from the lower section or even the middle section up there very well. I think, if anything, I'd like to see a replat that shows us these connectivities that they're proposing and some of the solutions to what we've been hearing tonight. I mean, we've had gracious community input that says they're not against this. They're just would like more of a transition. I think that's something to be said, that they're not fighting us fully, even though, it's a big addition out there.
I agree with a lot of what you said. In looking at the park, not having connectivity, the park is also located in phase two of the project, which doesn't do much for the first phase. And I'd like to see more connectivity there to get from the portions of the project to the south to the park, and I'd like to see the park become part of phase one. And I also agree that I think that along, excuse me, along Black Cat, I think that strip of houses need to be bumped up to an R6, R4, along there just to provide a buffer, more of a buffer into the R8 portion of the subdivision.
I agree with a lot that both Jim and Dana have talked about. I think there needs to be a buffer of R4s. I'm not even sure I would approve of R8s. I understand after sitting on a school board for 14 years that the donation is very gracious. But there's, if you can't build a building, it doesn't do any good. So until there's a bond passed to build some schools, I don't think we should be building a whole lot more subdivisions, especially at R8.
Well, I don't disagree with anything that's been said so far, but and I actually kind of looked at this earlier myself, and yes, there is an R8 listed as medium density. But in that definition of an R8, it says the district is intended to accommodate residential infill development in older CUNA neighborhoods and in areas adjacent to light commercial activity. We're on the edge of town. We're not infilling. We're not. To me, coming in as an R8, I understand why developers do that, but I would rather see a plat come in that was at a minimum an R6, but also had buffers of larger lots to help, not, you know, the transition to the large parcels on the other side of Black Cat as well. Again, I can't disagree with anything else that's been said here. So I think, to me, you know, if it's gonna be, I don't know, an R8's not acceptable to me. It's just not.
And to kind of reiterate, I do appreciate the work in the school donation site. However, we've got that's still a long time before that gets passed and buildable. You know, it saves the taxpayers a bunch of money for the site, but they still got to be able to bond the buildings and the faculty there. And that's something that the city needs to really push. Well, the city community as a whole needs to push, not just the city. But yeah, I have a kind of a problem with the density out there. I guess I'll ask the applicant a question. Are you guys willing to work and try to present us something that has a lower density on this transition so that we can possibly table this and see what?
I would like to see it come in as an R6, not an R8. I think setting a precedent out in this area as an R8 this far away from downtown is, I think, yeah, it's a bad precedent. I think it at minimum has to come in as an R6, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
So please go ahead and answer his question, and I'm sorry to jump in.
Kind of goes in the same thing. It's
I apologize.
Commissioner Hennessy, yes, we absolutely could
bring this back as an R6 with some of the additionally larger lots and more amenities in the park area with the pathways through it.
So ideally what I'm looking at is trying to get this to a better position but not delay procedure on that. So with that, how much time do you need if I make a motion to table this? Is it to the next meeting, or do you need more time? What would be reasonable?
Let me ask Doug a question first. If we're asking them to come back within R6, do they need to reapply?
So, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, they wouldn't need to reapply, but if you're asking them to come back and show R6, staff would prefer it be tabled to a date uncertain so that there's an opportunity for them to be able to prepare the plans and us to have a chance to review them. And okay. I'm not sure that'll be accomplished in the next 3 weeks.
Okay. Okay, then with that, Mr. Chairman, I move we table case number 22-10-ZC-22-17-S and 22-38-DR to a date uncertain pending the proposed revisions.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Right. Motion carries, and we will revisit this in the future.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Chairman, okay, we'll hold a couple moments?
Yeah, we'll take about a 3-minute recess.
Thank you.
Whenever you're ready, Chairman. Thank you. Oh, just kidding. We're still missing Troy. My apologies.
That's normal.
He kind of has to present the next one. So. Oh, yeah, you can have it back.
We have a thunderstorm heading our way.
Okay, then we'll come back to order at 7:36. And the next item up on the agenda is, or our case number is 22-07-ZC, 22-05-PUD, 22-15-S, 22-08 SUP and 22-34-DR design review for Gallica Heights and Troy.
Good evening, commissioners, members of the commission. For the record, Troy Behunan, senior planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. The applications before you this evening are requesting rezone approval, planned unit development, a preliminary plat, special use permit, and the design review for the common lots. They are seeking rezoning about 132.26 acres that are already in the city and zone the property R6, R12, and C1 commercial. The applicant is also requesting preliminary plat approval in order to divide the same land into approximately or into 615 total residential units, 86 common lots, and a single commercial lot to be divided at a later time. The applicant also seeks design review approval for the common lot landscaping. The developers proposed 16.93%, or set in acres, 22.39 acres over the total project for open space and usable space. Public Works, in their exhibit, which is 2.24, states that they can support the Gallica Heights subdivision development with the conditions that are listed in that memo. Planning and Zoning Department staff agrees with the conditions. listed in the engineer's memo, and staff has reviewed the proposed planned unit development, the rezone, the preliminary plat, the special use permit, and the design review for compliance with CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes 50-222, 6765, 50-13, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and also the CUNA Future Land Use Map. And should the commission recommend approval of these applications and approve the design review application, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions that are outlined inside staff's report. The applicant is here tonight and does have a presentation to make, and I will be here for any questions that you might have.
Okay. Are there any questions for Troy before we move?
Not right now.
Okay. Then, please come forward and we'll state your name and address again for the record, please.
Elizabeth Kekeritz with Givens Pursley at 601 Bannock Drive, Boise, Idaho. I'm here once again on the behalf of the applicant team. With me today is Tim Eck, who will also be able to answer questions if I'm unable to do so. We have reviewed the staff report. We are in full agreement with all of the recommendations of the staff report with ACHD, with everyone, and we are asking for a recommendation of approval to City Council at the end of this hearing. This property has also been part of the City of CUNA for at least 15 years and possibly longer. Part of it, not all of it, was originally part of that same sewer local improvement district. As we'll discuss, the applications conform to the comprehensive plan, the future land use map, and they meet all development standards. The future land use map, as I mentioned in the last hearing, was just adopted less than a year ago in November 2022. As you can see here, it's been designated, the property is, the hard corner is designated mixed use, with the remainder of the property designated medium density residential. Based on these designations, the ownership team developed a project that fit exactly within these parameters with a mix of commercial, attached single-family residential on townhome lots along Black Cat, and detached single-family residential on the remainder of the site. We are proposing approximately 6.5 acres of C1, which is neighborhood commercial, which you can't see because we're going to learn about Folklore Day. and we are proposing currently to divide that into four lots. 24 acres of townhomes zoned R12 in the brown, and 94 acres of single-family residential zoned R6. We think that this mix of housing and commercial uses really meets that mixed-use future land use designation, which asks for at least two types of product on the property. We're providing three throughout this, which really is going to create a really nice little commercial center on this corner eventually, where the residents in this neighborhood and others can go to work, play, shop, just have some amenities right there so they don't have to drive so far. The R6 zoning is entirely compatible with Sabino's Rocky Ridge to the south, which was approved last year. And as I'll discuss in a moment, there's large buffers on all sides of this development from other developments and uses. Comprehensive plan. Again, this really meets with many comprehensive plan goals. I'd like to just call out a couple. One of the big ones is having a mix of uses and a mix of housing types. There's a lot of single-family detached residential. This brings a large swath of attached single-family residential to CUNA, which is really a great opportunity for first-time home buyers or people who want to stay in CUNA and age in place without necessarily all of the upkeep of huge yards. So it really it really appeals to sort of both ends of the market. Your new, your younger families coming in, sort of your older people who are getting ready to retire and want to travel more and not have to worry about it as much. The developers also will be putting in a pathway along the Reidenbach Canal, which will create a lot of connectivity as this area continues to develop. And there's also going to be increased connectivity. As I'll talk in a moment, Shayla Road will be pushed through. So at that point in time, it will go all the way from north to south with the approval of this development that Mid-Mile Collector will be developed. Oh, my gosh, I'm just not doing well tonight. Okay, there's the preliminary plat. You can see there's four lots on the hard corner. And then we have the largest single-family lots are in the northeast corner, transitioning to slightly smaller lots, the purple lots, as you move south and west, and then ending with the townhome lots on the west across the canal adjacent to Black Cat. There are significant buffers on this property. The in-holding is primarily surrounded by open space and the largest lots. All of the lots surrounding the in-holding are bigger than what an R4 lot would be. They're bigger than that size lot. So they really did try to focus on putting the larger lots around the in-holding and up against Columbia, where there are larger lots across the street. The property boundary of the homes to the north across Columbia, their property boundaries are more than 254 feet from the Gallica property boundary, which provides significant buffering there. Between Gallica and the homes to the east, they will be putting in an entire mid-mile collector. Because those homes developed without a mid-mile collector, without doing their half of it, in this case, the developer will be putting in the entire mid-mile collector along that, which is a 50-foot swath of property with the detached sidewalks. And then Black Cat is that large arterial, which includes a 20-foot landscape buffer plus all of the required ACHD setbacks, which means that the units are at least 50 feet from the edge of the pavement there. The phasing plan, they do plan to develop townhomes in phases 3 and 8, and the commercial will come with phase 2. We'll talk about the roadway connectivity in just a minute. Here are the open space and amenities. This is very thoughtfully amenitized. There's a community center, swimming pool, pickleball courts, a smaller pocket park in the middle of the single-family residential area, and then we will be putting in that pathway along the canal, as well as the different various connections to and through the site. Traffic, which is what we all, oh my gosh. Elevations, open space. Where did it go? Oh, it seems to have disappeared. No. Okay, well, there are a lot of, let me see if this one, let me find a good map of the area. Okay, so starting this development, this is a larger development, and there is a lot of traffic mitigation that is being required on Black Cat and on Columbia Road. If you start at Black Cat and starting at the top, starting all the way up at Black Cat and Victory, the developer has been asked to install a light at that intersection, a 3x3 light at that intersection at the time that he goes to plat the 101st residential lot. South of that, the next major intersection is Black Cat and Amity, and there is a roundabout currently scheduled to be constructed there by ACHD. You go down the next one there at Black Cat and Lake Hazel. There's a roundabout already scheduled to be constructed at that intersection. Below that, you come to Black Cat and Columbia, where on this one, the developer's been asked to construct a signal at the time of the 364th lot. But if you remember, on Season Creek, which we just discussed, he has to construct it now. And so there will be
these multiple developments are being asked to do the same sort of improvements. And so he will be doing that improvement sooner rather than later upon approval of the Season Creek. Then, as you go across on Columbia, the traffic study and ACHD are not requesting any improvements at 10 Mile and Columbia yet, but at the time that he goes to plat the 245th residential lot, he has to provide an updated traffic study and do whatever mitigation is requested at that point in time. Continuing to the east at Linder and Columbia, he will be putting in a northbound right-hand turn lane. So as you're coming up Linder to turn onto Columbia to sort of get out towards the highway, he'll be putting in the northbound turn lane there. And then at the highway in Columbia, upon request from ITD, there may be, and this is not entirely decided, depending on their plans, there may be a proportionate share impact fee that he pays for that. So there are significant traffic improvements being planned throughout this area. In addition, he will be developing Black Cat and Columbia Road. He will be widening them and putting in full detached sidewalks, curb, gutter, all of those improvements, as we had just discussed, putting in the Collector Road, Shaler Road coming down, and then along where it's already been, along the bottom of the pink there, on the south part of the property, there's already been a mid-mile collector is anticipated. And to the extent that Sabino's hasn't done their half of it yet, he will be putting in that mid-mile collector there as far as he can that will ultimately punch out to Black Cat Road. And with that, I would tell you that the townhomes are a really exciting product, and I'll stand for any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions at this time?
Not yet. Just one clarification. So the parcel that's kind of in the middle of the R, kind of the upper R6,
yeah,
that's not part of this application. That's, what are the plans that for that?
This, so this is all, this sort of, both these purple colors are all the, are all R6. These are just the larger lot, right, but the more of the state.
The white spot the in the
white
middle there.
The white is, that's three large in-holding lots.
Okay. Must be you guys then.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions at this time?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and open up the public testimony at 7:52. And I guess we'll start, and then favorite column, and have listed to testify Jim Groh.
My name is Jim Groh. I live at 7946 South Saddlebag Way, Nampa, believe it or not. I live right across the street from this proposed development, and I am extremely concerned about the density involved here. We've owned our house for many years. We have 26 homes on 1 acre lots and 26 acres of common area that costs us a fortune every month to maintain. And I'm extremely concerned about this kind of density right across the street. I think I know where people are going to want to come and walk their dogs and not pick up after them. We have several very environmentally sensitive water collection areas in that 26 acres. And again, I'm extremely concerned about the density of this project. I've been sitting here for 2 hours listening to other people's concerns on other projects, and we have that same concern of transition. Columbia Road right now has tremendous amount of traffic, and I don't see how this is going to, the things that they're going to do, or they say they're going to do to try to improve the traffic flow. I just don't see that that's going to help. Again, the traffic is a big concern. The density of this project is a big concern. And I would encourage you to go down to R4 at least. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Okay. And then next I have listed to testify Renee Stewart. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Okay. Renee Stewart, 8475 South Black Cat Road, Nampa. Well, my biggest concern is the density. I looked at the FLUM and the Envision CUNA comprehensive plan, and it seems to contradict what this plan is set to do. We're currently zoned agriculture, and 5D identifies specific strategies to preserve open space, agricultural lands, and heritage. Well, everywhere I look, our agricultural land is not being preserved. Our agricultural land is being eaten up by high-density subdivisions. It also says that, you know, the future land use plan lists medium density. 615 residential lots is not medium density, especially the townhouses that are being proposed crammed into the lots along Black Creek, Black Cat Road. And if you look at the proposed elevations of the townhouses, there's no garages. There's no parking lots. I don't know where all these houses are going to put their cars. Also, the Envision CUNA Comprehensive Plan 3A1B says to concentrate medium to high density residentials, blank, blank, blank. I'm not going to read it all, in CUNA core. Low density residential development, open space, industrial, agricultural uses in CUNA outer areas. Well, I think this is a CUNA outer area. I don't think this is the CUNA core. Also in the Envision CUNA Plan 3A1E, it says to identify and implement mechanisms to preserve and encourage agricultural uses. Another nearby city planner director stated in a newspaper article, the way we should be growing is in a manner that is more and more people don't have to drive so much. And the only way to do that is to put density in the right places. I mean where density is helpful. Density has to be near things, grocery stores, parks, restaurants, where people can walk and drive shorter distance. I think that his statement has a lot of merit for our situation with this development. We're out here, what, 5-6 miles from CUNA downtown? High density has no place. Townhouses will just... I mean, we're talking lots of people with no place to go. So the townhouses are not compatible with existing neighborhoods. You just heard from the other gentleman.
That the timer went off here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear it. I was kind of nervous.
You're focused.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, I have listed and marked to testify Andrew Bills.
Andrew Bills, 4277 West Balavai Lane, Nampa, Idaho. I am the last house in that white box. I am a fifth generation native Idahoan. That house that we bought was actually built by my in-laws. So a lot of roots in the community. My family's been very instrumental in building development inside of the Treasure Valley, all the way from Garden City, all the way out to Nampa. All that being said, there's, like a lot of people have said before, there's a responsible way of doing things. And our 12 townhomes on Black Cat Road, where the future land use of directly across the street, according to your own future land use plan, is agricultural. There's not a future land use plan for directly across the street from Black Cat, where the county line ends soon, for anything other than agricultural. So you're gonna have townhomes and then you're agricultural. So it raises a lot of question marks. I'm gonna hit the same thing everybody else has with traffic. In the 3 minutes that I've got to talk here, to get to this meeting at 5:30 tonight, to turn left on Columbia, I timed it on my stopwatch. It took me 2 minutes and 42 seconds to turn left. So traffic already coming from Nampa through Columbia to hit 10 Mile to go to the interchange is already high. So trying to teach my 15-year-old daughter to drive every morning has been interesting. More so from a personal standpoint, this development group in the last 2 years since they started, we had a first community meeting 2 years ago, they have not approached a single homeowner on Balavai on how to integrate, how to work with us, how to see what can be done. They are setting us up for failure. They're putting commercial directly against our lane where there's going to be a minimum of two, if not three or four driveways into those commercials. And then setting, there's already existing drive a tenth of a mile down the road across the street. Pulling in and out of our lane is going to become near impossible. There was opportunity for them to approach us to figure out how do we integrate, connect roads, how do we, you know, we were not even broached with the question. We weren't even asked, could we get involved? So it was something that should have, in my opinion, been done and wasn't. So that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next I have listed to testify Tamara Hugh. I'm not saying it right. I'm not. Ash.
Tamara Huff, 8397 South Old Farm Place, Meridian. So I did turn in an email, so hopefully you guys got that okay. But I just wanted to add a few more points and some information that I was not able to gather still to this date. But one of my big questions was, how many homes does CUNA really need to be building? And I put in a request to the clerk's office to try and figure out how many homes are currently already in CUNA and then what is already been approved. I kind of went through the websites, your maps online, and it looks like you guys have already approved 3,000 residential with whatever variances those could be. So in reality, we don't need another huge subdivision, let alone townhomes, and that sort of stuff put right in the middle of, you know, there's agriculture land all the way around and things like that. And my other concern is our schools. When we moved here, we could have, our kids could have walked across the street to Crimson Point. We chose to drive them all the way into Boise to get smaller schools. So in that diagram that I included in my packet, you see that every single school, except for some of the middle schools, are already at capacity and over capacity. So the bond failed this year. We have 17,000 voters in the city of CUNA. Only like 2,000 people voted on the bond, and only 1,000 of them voted for it. So how are we going to get schools built for these kids if we can't get the bond passed, but we keep building and building and building these homes and no place to put these kids? And then also traffic is another huge thing. Pulling out onto Columbia and knowing what Traffic is like, you know, driving our kids to school. It is a nightmare already. And if we just in this one alone, another 1,000 cars, let alone all of the other ones that have already been approved, that they haven't started building, the development that we were just talking about prior, that's another huge amount of cars all going down. Black Cat, Columbia is a huge, you know, way for people to get to work and school going into Meridian. They're going the opposite way going into Nampa. I mean, there's just a huge amount of cars, and it's unsafe. So I think we really need to consider, do we need this many homes currently, especially in this economy, which is very sketchy right now, you know, interest rates at, what, 7.6%? Who can afford to buy these homes, you know? Not very many people. A lot of these are getting gobbled up by investors. Investors are not invested in our town. You know, we want people here that are gonna fight for our kids, that are gonna keep it safe and have a positive, you know, community. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next I have listed Robbie Reno.
Robbie Reno, CUNA School District, 711 East Porter Street, CUNA, Idaho. I agree a lot with what she said about the bond. This is in the Crimson Point school zone. Currently, Crimson Point is at 91%. So that means there's about 508 students that are able to go to Crimson Point, and 484 students currently attend that school. We don't know until the fifth day what our current enrollment is because the school hasn't come, but we're expecting it to be high. So with Sabiano's Ridge and the other development to the south that's north of Crimson Point currently, adding this would just put that school way over until we can pass a bond to build another school to alleviate Silver Trail, Crimson Point. This one will be hard to fit into our plan and until we can pass those bonds to follow our 10-year plan to keep up with this growth. So I stand for it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And next I have listed Beverly Wolf.
Beverly Wolf, 3420 West Commemoration. Okay, Public Works. When I read the Public Works in your packet, it said, planned to flow to future regional lift station not currently constructed. How do you approve 132 acres of development and there's no sewer and it's not even built yet? I'm just curious. I looked through the packet. I kept going through the list. I could not find the letter from the school district. Was there one in the packet? I didn't see one. Okay, well, I just have questions. Back to sewer, back to schools. You know, who pays for everything? Well, the developers pay for a lot. I get that. Except on the other side of it, I have to pay for the schools. I have to pay for the roads. I have to pay for the safety. I have to pay for the cost of the infrastructure that they don't pay for because they don't pay 100% of the roads. They don't pay 100% of all the infrastructure like the sewers. Whatever they don't cover, you're going to put a bond or a levy on us for that infrastructure as well as the bonds for the school district. So I'm going to quote something from your website. It says, not to be contrary to public interest, a literal enforcement of the zoning title will result in unnecessary hardship. So I ask for your wisdom. What are you voting for? Are you voting for the people or the developers? And I'm not against developers, but I think you need to pull your map. I think you need to go back to your plan and go, what makes sense? You don't put 5 million different zoning, like spread out like a quilt. Well, let's do that square, let's do that square, let's do that square. And then, now we need to connect them, so now we'll pull eminent domain to connect them. Not cool.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, this person did not mark whether they wanted to testify or not. Sandy Whitehead? Did I? And the next person I had listed in March. Let's see, Jerry Frederick had already sent in the letter. Okay. Did you want to add to what was in your letter?
I would like to speak a little bit.
All right, please step forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Jerry Frederick, 8968 South Black Cat Road. I'm the culprit that sold part of that land to Tim, and I appreciate him getting me out of the hard work. I'm getting too old to farm it anymore. Although he's got a real challenge because he has a major problem, in my opinion, with the R12. That's way out of reason to even think about that far out of the city to have that kind of density. I know it's just me talking, and you guys are going to make the decision, but it is important to me, and it's important to a lot of other people. So I have a real issue with that. The other is I'm not sure how that road is going to be built. Is that four lanes or three lanes? I didn't get that explained to me clearly, so I would like to know whether I think it needs to be four lanes if you're going to have that many people out there, but get rid of that R12, that'll help some. I've got another issue with that Black Cat Road. Now, I know that isn't in their development, but if you come down that bridge across the Indian Creek, the people that come down that road 90 mile an hour sometime, I got to come out of that road. You cannot see those people coming 90 mile an hour because you can look and look, and as you looked the last time, by the time you get out that road, you got somebody right on your tail. So I think ACHD needs to get some signs or something on that hill and said that's blind. They cannot see it. I cannot see it. Somebody's going to get killed there because, as you all well know, there's a lot of these people that are floating down this creek, and there's 10, 15 cars down there, and a lot of kids are out there walking. Somebody's going to get killed if they don't get some kind of a, you know, restriction on what they're doing. Anyway, that's my biggest concern. Tim's a nice guy, but he don't need all that money.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And I don't have anybody else listed to testify. Is there anybody else here that wanted to testify in this application that did not sign in? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll have the applicant please come back up, if you would.
Elizabeth Kekeritz, 60 with Givens Pursley, 601 Bannock. I'd like to start just with this preliminary plat, and I did not do an adequate job of explaining it. The townhome lots are on the interior. The blue, the ring around them, those are all detached single-family lots. They're smaller ones. They're about an R6 to an R8 size, but those are all single-family detached. The townhome units are just on the interior there. They're not up against Black Cat. And when the development team looked at developing this, and Black Cat is slated to become one of the major thoroughfares through CUNA, and this whole area is going to be developing. And one of the things that land use planners look at is putting their higher density units closer to and along the major thoroughfares. And for that reason, that is why in looking at this, the more dense area is along this busier road. It seemed like a really good place to cluster the higher density development where it is on the louder street. It's usually the more affordable type homes get placed out closer to those busy streets, and as you go interior, you get the larger lots. In this case, however, because of the inholding, they did choose to put those larger lots still closest around the inholding area, which kind of mixed up your standard sort of typical land use planning that you think of. Briefly on the townhomes, they are 1,300 to 1,600 square feet, 2 and 3 bedroom units. They all have a 2-car garage, and they have a 20-foot drive apron, so there's room for additional parking there. This is not a development where you'd expect to see parking just all over the streets. The developer is trying to construct townhomes that provide adequate parking for the residents. And traffic. I mean, we've gone around this before. We hire traffic engineers who sometimes, sort of shockingly to me, go to school to study just traffic and get specialized degrees in just traffic and really focus on these different, on what can be done to alleviate traffic, to make traffic flow better, to really mitigate the effects of these developments. And in this case, traffic engineers were hired. ACHD acts as the watchdog on them. They make sure that they agree with what they're doing. In this case, it went back and forth like it often does, 2-3 times, maybe even 4 times, to make sure that ACHD agreed with what was being presented, that they agreed with all the traffic numbers. And they're the ones that said, these are the mitigations that we think are important and are necessary here. And so that is how we ended up on all of these various mitigations that we are doing. Currently, Black Cat is slated in this area, and Mr. Eck is being asked to develop it as a 3-lane road. I don't know what the long-term plan for it is here, but right now it's going to be developed as 3 lanes, north, south, center lane, as is Columbia, is also slated, and I don't know what Columbia is right now there, but they will both be developed on the boundaries of his property with the curb, gutter, detached sidewalks, and that full wider road. We understand that schools are, I mean, they're a hard nut to crack. Schools are not funded the way that I think many of us would like them to be. Lots of people come here from out of state, and I've been in many of these hearings that are like, well, this is how they did it where I live. And I say, well, that's not how they do it here, unfortunately. But through the dedication of the school sites, for example, when Season Creek does come online, that pulls kids out of Crimson Point, and it sort of, it starts to equalize over time. And so I understand that the schools right now, there are a lot of students, but the school district is continuing to work towards that, and we will continue to be working with the school district on that and providing additional donation sites as the opportunity arises. Finally, Public Works. Yes, the sewer is coming in through Sabino's Rocky Ridge. One of the conditions of approval is that we could go ahead, is that we would not be able to really obtain any sort of vertical infrastructure improvements until such time as Sabino's Rocky Ridge is online and is being used. And that's something that's been talked to back and forth with Public Works many, many times over the years. And it does seem, and that is something that they're starting to go forward with that. And so we are absolutely, we would like to have the recommendation of approval today. With the understanding that it may take just a little bit longer before we're able to actually go for vertical building permits. And with that, I will stand for any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions at this point?
Yes, Elizabeth. The roadway improvements. Will the improvements on Black Cat and Columbia be done as part of phase one?
They, Commissioner Mann, they, yes. I would anticipate, I don't have experience where they have not been required with phase one, that they are required right away.
And between Season Creek and Gallica Heights, which project will go first?
That, Commissioner Mann, is a question for Mr. Eck.
Yeah, if you could step through the microphone, please.
Tim Eck, I am the applicant. I live at 6357 Buena Vista Lane in Star. The timing of the plats will obviously be predicated on the timing of the entitlement approvals. The time frame to get construction drawings completed and approved is getting longer by the day. It's an 8 to 10 month process to get CDs produced and approved. You know, the start of each one, more than likely Seasons Creek would go first, just because we can't go too far out here until the Sabino's lift station is built, which is one of their, I believe, one of their conditions of approval in their, I'm assuming, in their development agreement. So with approval, we'll move forward with everything, but we won't move forward with a lot of actual infrastructure improvements until the Sabino's Rocky Ridge lift station is online. So this one would probably fall behind Season Creek, where we're building the lift station and making all the sewer improvements.
Thank you.
Any other questions at this time?
No, that answered a couple that I had.
Okay.
One more question.
Yes, Commissioner Vinn.
In this development, is there any gravity irrigation systems that are going to be disrupted?
Commissioner Main, I am going to once again defer to Mr. Eck.
Commissioner Main, Tim Eck again, 6357 Buena Vista Lane, Stark. We don't have the legal right to restrict gravity irrigation. So the gravity irrigation, the main canal that runs through there, the green pathway that you see, is a large irrigation canal, and that is left in open space undisturbed.
Are there any, excuse me, are there any supply ditches that run to the subdivision that's going to be staying in the middle of your project?
Yeah, the green canal through there is a, I believe that is a supply ditch.
Any sort of ditches on the property, we would be working with the companies to make sure those are tiled and taken care of. One of the things that does always come up in all of these developments is at the time that we go to cross the canal, do anything with the canal, there's a lot of back and forth with the irrigation companies. I'm not entirely sure who owns the Reidenbach Canal, but it's definitely a matter of timing because you have to make sure your engineering drawings are approved so that you can get in there as soon as they shut off the water, because the contracts are very strict. You have to be out of there by a certain date. There's a lot that goes into that sort of negotiation back and forth, and the timing is really key because we've had people miss the timing and they're out for a year.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'll close the public testimony at 8:22. Which returns to our discussion, deliberation.
I'll throw it out again. Why not? I like a lot more of the open space and the amenities in this. I think the commercial's a little small for that area. If you're going to put this density in and say that it's got the commercial to supply it, it seems like it's awfully small considering the townhouses and that other area. And I tend to also agree that transition over there along Black Cat, even though it is single family and that was a nice clarification. They're still a lot smaller than anything else. They're 4,000 to about 4,200 square foot lots, where the others are right between 5 and 6, almost 6,800 square feet for the same R6 designation. So you're kind of on the bottom border of R6 to almost bigger along that Black Cat transition, where you've got agriculture on the other side. I don't know if we've got that transition too well in my opinion. I do like the open spaces. The connectivity between this, as it's laid out on these plats, is far better than the last one, so I appreciate that. Yeah, the in-holding part, I have a... I mean, they show a driveway going up into... off the preliminary plat, they show a driveway going into the commercial, but I'm wondering how that's going to work. It seems like, from what I remember, that's awfully close to your main intersection at Black Cat and Columbia, from what ACHD usually... Well, I guess it's ITD that's really kicks it out, but that's still going to push a lot of people, I think, moving in along that parcel for the in-holding group. So I'm concerned as well. I'm not sure. It's a lot of houses out there, and I'm not really sure we need quite that density out there yet. I understand Black Cat and the way we're talking about that improving down the road, but that's a long ways out. We don't have any of the commercial or any of the services along there to bring the people in. We usually put some of that in, then the people come around it, not the other way around.
Yeah, I looked at, when I looked at this along Black Cat, I said, holy cow, that is a dense development. You know, I'd prefer to see some sort of buffer along Black Cat, which would be the same as the buffer along Columbia. Secondly, if they say that Black Cat is going to become one of the main arteries, similar to 10 Mile, well, 10 Mile is up to 5 lanes now. So how do we get 2 more lanes out of Black Cat down the road when ACHD decides to make that 5 lanes? And additionally, from the townhomes, there isn't any way to actually walk to the commercial area without going out on the sidewalk on Black Cat to Columbia and then back in. You know, I'd like to see some kind of a connection there. But mostly I'd like to see some kind of a buffer on Black Cat. And maybe you could explain are those townhomes in the middle? And how is parking accessed in those buildings?
I'm agreeing with a lot of what you're saying. But let me step back. I think that the densities that you've got or what's out on the northeast and heading south are appropriate. I appreciate those. But I know that the flume shows mixed use, but that doesn't mean you got to put 24 acres of townhomes to say it's mixed use. That's even a bigger bag of things than what, yeah, it's just a lot. By almost double what I would anticipate for townhomes. That's just a lot for, you know, like I said, I understand mixed use. I understand making transitions. I understand that, but I don't know. I can't get on board with.
Yeah, it's 4 times the commercial
18
size.
18 acres of ish, 17 acres of townhomes. And especially on Black Cat and Columbia at this time. I know growth is happening. I know we're spreading. I know we're doing all of that. But in the past, when I'm driving out there, we're not pushing that boundary yet. And I don't know that density in that much R12 is a need even though the flume shows mixed use, like I said, and I know I'm repeating myself, you don't have to fill the whole thing with higher density. You can still make your transitions and have that mix of items to
offer. The whole purpose of that mixed use is to have commercial servicing the higher density areas, but we've got four times a higher density area than the commercial. We've got 24.6 acres in R12 and only 6.4 in C1. To have 94 acres of R6, 24.6 acres of R12, and only 6 acres of a commercial area to kind of service that, where the whole comprehensive plan talks about, you know, like one of the people said, it's we're supposed to concentrate this near a core that services that kind of a density. You know, again, they're going to have to go somewhere else, and they're going to have to drive across town to get groceries, to do gas, and everything else. Depending on what goes in here, it's going to be minor. So I have concerns with that. I almost seem to want to balance more the commercial and the R12 than it is currently.
I totally agree with what you say. R12 out that far just doesn't make any sense to me. I believe R12 should be culture to core. This is probably the third or fourth in the year that I've been on this commission, and I haven't liked any of them, and I'm not going to continue to like them.
Not sure how to fully address the R12 without something, because that would be like a huge redo.
Yeah, I know.
And so I'm, you know, going back, I think the rest of what is there and some of the connectivity, some of the open spaces and that are good. It's that mixed use component that I have problems with.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. Like I said, I think it's unbalanced in a lot of respect. I'd be a lot better with it if there was a bunch of services going in to support that, but it's not. And we don't have anything nearby. That's, quite frankly, quite the farthest out part of our area right now. That's probably going to be one of the bigger, higher density areas that in the city currently that we've approved, I think, is way out. I don't know. There's how many units in
total units?
In just the R12, in the townhouses, but there's 90.
I mean, that's 6. I'm sure it's in here.
Troy, how many proposed units in the R12? I'll make you look.
Looks like there's over 200 lots.
According to the application, it's 195.
For the R12?
And that's for the townhomes.
Okay, thank you.
But not all R12 is townhomes. Some of it is single family. That's in Exhibit 2.1.
Yep. So, I don't know. This one's tough because I think. Most of that mixed use component needs to be reworked. The rest of it, like I said, I have good grasp on that, but it's out there.
I agree. I think the commercial needs to be a larger area. I think the townhome area, I think we need a buffer along Black Hat and the townhomes on the interior.
Commissioners, could I ask a point of clarification just based on your comment? Just with the geographical constraints of the site, with the canal on the south side of the commercial and the existing driveway to the properties that already exist, how would you propose placing additional commercial? Just so that the applicant, if you want them to rework that into their application, they have an idea of where you would like to see it.
Well, I'm not speaking for everybody, but I think my answer would be in some of the R12 area, not necessarily connected between what's there or not, but almost a separate area on that side of the canal.
It's just difficult because with the I'll have Troy touch on it because he spent a little bit more time on the application.
For the record, Troy Buchanan. So when you're considering reworking a plan, you can't just look at what you like and what you don't like, mm-hmm. or what's been expressed that people like and don't like. You have to consider actual standards, ASHTO standards, ACHD standards. Mm-hmm. They will not put any kind of commercial access on Black Cat because there's not enough site distance. Then you begin, there's a hill, and then on top of that, you've got a canal. And it becomes extremely cost prohibitive to put exits and entrances and bridges over canals than are absolutely necessary. In fact, the irrigation companies do not like crossings because it's a liability for them. Even though the developer assumes all responsibility, it's still a liability. And even if everybody's doing exactly what they're supposed to, there's natural events, there's disasters, there's the what if, and then all of a sudden their facility is compromised. So they do not encourage or appreciate more than absolutely necessary to have canal crossings. And that's why we have the standards and we have site distance requirements for entrances, for exits.
Correct, but if you look at Exhibit 2.18, the preliminary plat, there shows a driveway up there on that very left side of Black Cat where the commercial comes in. And I don't see how that's accurate, given especially what you said plus what I know. That was a question I was going to bring up here shortly, but we've got access there that doesn't look accurate either.
So are you talking about Exhibit 2.18, the preliminary plat?
Yes.
And the furthest, well, there's only one entrance on to Black Cat.
Yes, just above the canal.
So
at that corner.
Every property in the state of Idaho is required to have public right-of-way access. But there's not on the corner, no. Were you talking about in the? Oh, I see what you're saying. You're
right
talking about the existing. There is an existing paved surface on the north side of the canal. Is that what you're referring to?
It's not marked, so it's hard to
know
what
that's all that is. That is, if you've been out there, or even if you look at the aerials, that's what that is. That is not a proposed entrance.
That's going to be an abandoned.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Shouldn't that be taken off the preliminary plat?
It doesn't. It belongs on the preliminary plat. It's intended to show what currently exists out in the field. It would be an irregularity to remove something like that.
I would think the preliminary plat would show what's supposed to exist after.
It does exist.
Not.
Then we wander into the argument of, do we show existing lot lines that are neighboring? They're not a part of the plat either. So the preliminary plat shows existing conditions. It shows contours. It shows the canal. It shows this.
I guess maybe Dana's question is, would that be closed? And if a commercial development went in based on ACHD's requirements?
Yeah.
It would not be allowed.
Okay.
That goes back to what you were saying, you can't put commercial down on that side of the canal because you don't have access. And that was just my point of clarification.
Gotcha.
It shows one, so that's going to be abandoned.
It shows an existing one, as should every preliminary plat. But you are correct. The ASHTO and the ACHD standards will prevail Even if one is proposed in the wrong spot, ACHD will not sign the final plat.
Well, understood, but we're trying to understand.
Sure.
What you asked us the question of what we are looking to try to see.
Sure.
And so we're just simply stating.
Yeah, that will be removed.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Well, I think, you know, if you get kind of hemmed in with commercial and inabilities to enlarge that, it just makes it even more reason to, I'm not stating this very well, but more reason to not have near as much R12. And I think if something came back, I'd maybe adjust what they're asking for R12, even though it's in a mixed-use zone. Half at least of that townhomes need to go away.
Are you accurate in saying just the townhomes? Because density comes with that ring around it, with the real high-density R6.
Well,
I mean, the townhomes, I agree with you, they're not so bad because they got a lot of open space, but that ring around it's pretty heavy.
Well, they kind of, I would like to see those turned into R6 homes as well.
R6, they're already.
They're more like an R8, which is what we were having discussions on the last application about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what to suggest.
There's a lot of things I have not fully got my head wrapped around on this. Maybe it would be worth possibly tabling this to the next meeting to give, at least maybe for me at least, time to digest this a little bit more, to get my head wrapped around some of this.
Yeah, I mean, we've had good clarification from both staff as well as applicant on kind of what the intent is and what we're facing geographically. So I tend to agree, because I have to think this differently than, you know, with after what Troy and Doug had said. Jim, you have any input?
Question for Troy. So would there be an issue putting commercial the entire length of Black Cat in that frontage and still using the same entrance that's there currently?
I would defer that question to our economic development director.
From a platting perspective, it could be done. From a marketability standpoint, it would not be viable. So what we're looking for on this kind of property, and when we think about our future land use map, remember that's a 20-year plan, right? And a lot of this land preservation, especially when we're looking in these far out parcels on mixed use, is specifically for pieces of property like this, because we want to capture those hard corners. Because right now, it might not seem like it does feel like the country. I grew up in this part of town. It does feel like the country. But in another 10 or 15 years, this is a commercial corner that we want to have preserved from a land use perspective for our tax base. So this one's really hard because of those geographical constraints. And to go on the Black Cat side for that amount of frontage, you're not going to get the neighborhood commercial that we would really be looking for, and leave the balance of the land back to the canal in a marketable standpoint. We're really looking for is like a development like the Linder level thing, a C-store, a smaller strip mall. That's kind of the level of service that we would see in this kind of parcel.
I also thought we were looking at trying to gain more commercial because that ends up being more beneficial to the city and the tax base to provide for services. So this seems like a small, awfully small portion to do that.
So when we think about traffic counts in this part of town, I would say a 7 to 10 acres is about appropriate. So when you take in the site constraints for this one, that really is kind of the best piece. If this was a bigger parcel and we had more to work with, I would be advocating to carve out a bigger chunk. But just with this property and the way the canal sits, so if you took a standard ACHD 330 feet back for a strip mall, that's going to leave a really weird balance there in that curve of the canal. So the Black Cat side doesn't work that great. So it does really just leave us with that hard corner. If I thought I could sell 20 acres that far out of town, I would go for it, but I just don't think that that's viable.
Yeah, but instead we're cramming in high density, which doesn't have the services to support it. So it's kind of our quandary. You know, I understand where you're at.
This is a difficult parcel of land.
Yeah.
To get what we need out of it on that hard corner because of the canal.
I think I'm okay with the hard corner, and I understand that, and I understand the commercial. I just don't agree with the R12, and I think if we don't have the R12, then the commercial hard corner commercial is going to be acceptable.
Well, I think that if we're stuck with the commercial as it is, that we need to buffer Black Cat and we need to reduce the R12 by 50% or so.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Lee that this might be something that we just need to consider a little bit more, what we've learned tonight, to see what we can provide as a viable alternative. In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we table 22-07-ZC, 22-05-PUD, 22-15-S, 22-08-SUP, and 22-34-DR to the next planning and zoning.
Commissioners, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. Staff would also recommend this item be tabled to a date uncertain, as I'm not sure this could be accomplished in 3 weeks.
Well, I think what we're suggesting is give us another amount of time to continue to review this and help offer direction, because we're not comfortable yet making a motion whether to approve, deny, or make a motion.
You don't want to see any changes between now and the next meeting?
No, I want to chew on it for a little bit longer.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've got an idea of what to ask. That's kind of what I'm striving for, is just give us a little bit of time in order to try to come up with something.
Okay.
So what is the date of the next?
That would be September 12th.
Okay. Thank you. So again, I motion to table these case numbers to the next planning and zoning meeting on a date of September 12th, 2023.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we'll come back and ponder this a little bit more. I don't see.
Staff, do we have any reports or other business items?
No, sir.
All right, then let's stand for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.